Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to IWDM Radio. The program you are about to hear is a community service program on IWDM Radio. Please note, this content is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, legal, professional, or financial counsel or advice, and no liability shall extend to the hosts, guests, or agents with IWDM or Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio is not endorsed, sponsored, or certified by any third-party agency. Thank you for listening.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is Imam Nazim Pasha, and you're listening to Islam-Based Conversations. We want to begin our commitment, which is to not insult your intelligence or waste your time. Said in all honesty and said in very sincerely, really keeps the integrity with the show, especially when you have to realize that it's not about us, you know. Not at the end of the day. I mean, when we get down to the real nitty-gritty, as they say, it's about us being the best human beings we can be and reaching out to our fellow human beings so they can do likewise. That's going to do so much to bring about the things that we really want and going to change a lot of the conditions that we find ourselves in right now. I mean, that's it for me. That's my bottom line. I mean, I want to be a part of the new wave that's coming in. It's very noticeable now. It's very dominant. A lot of people are doing it in their own way. I think we tend to get a little blinded as believers or believers in a specific ideology. I think we think our ideology should dominate, and then when it's dominating, then the world is going to be a better world. But when you really pull back and you look at what Allah is saying via his scripture, that's not the case. That's not the case. The case is that he built it or he created it, and then he brought about the kind of environment and the kind of circumstances that would produce someone to be a governor, to be a ruler, to be a khalifa, to be a vicegerent over the whole affair. And then he immediately started beginning to provide those tools, those provisions, that spirit, you know, that would make us think like that and do that. And you see that, we see the evidence whenever we go kind of like an archaeological approach. We go out and see what the men behind us and the men and women behind us, what they produced, and we get a better idea of our potential, really. And then we really borrow a lot of things and as we go forward in our future as incorporated, what they did and some of the mistakes that they made, we don't make. But we're very vulnerable in this one area that we succumb to the call of Satan. And that's not going to stop, because he's not going to stop. And he knows that he was giving him a minute or two to do his thing. And he knows also that he won't get to everybody. And who he won't get to, you know, God willing, is those who say they believe in God. They put their trust in God. They turn to God. And they try to obey God. And they love God. And they want this love to be a lasting love and a reciprocal love. We want God to love us back. And thereby giving us what he gives to only those who are truly believers, truly believe in this. They truly believe that there's something after this. And they don't have to see it. We see enough evidence to support it and to make us believe it, and that's enough for those who are going to eventually or have become or are practicing enough in the manner that we should to be called believers. It's a lofty position. Thus, it's a lofty challenge. And some people start real good. They start real strong. They stay really focused, and they really show a commitment, and they show an intent to do what Allah says He demands. He requires, really, I think is a better word. And once we see that and stay with that and let that be the creed, so to speak, that we go by and turn to, then you'll see a different set of circumstances on this place that we call Earth. That's the bottom line, you know. And we want to talk about Earth in the context that Allah has introduced it and wants us to talk about Earth. And once you look at the concordance and see the number of times that it gets mentioned, I counted 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 pages of verses contain Earth in them. And the context that we're dealing with for Earth, it has more than one meaning. But let's see if we can look at the word or find the word that is probably the most frequent or fairly frequently said. That I think that will be a good place to start. I would like to also let you know that I won't be on probably for no more than an hour tonight. Went on a wonderful trip. And I'm sort of downloading and debriefing myself about it because it was really a lot. It was very, very enjoyable, very worthy of being shared. And I want to try to share a little bit of it, not too much, not overly sure, or not let it dominate, hopefully, but let it be known that part of what happened on this journey is part of what has to happen on our journey through this thing called life. If we can really understand about the journey and how it how it really impacts us and what we need to do to adhere to what got a little bit of something in my nose. Anyway, so once we're able to do that, then the desired results that we're looking for take place, and also the results that are presently taking place are negated. Now, negated to me doesn't mean it ends, but it does mean that we get some control over the situation. It doesn't dominate us. It doesn't dictate to us, and that's a good thing. And I think we really I was looking for something here. Let's see. Okay. All right. Can read some of the English and get a sense of what I'm trying to say by repeating what Allah has to say in His book, and it has to eventually become our book, because without it we can't get the right guidance. And so we hear. When we read, we see Allah saying to us that this is chapter 2, verse 29 and also verse 30. And it said, Allah, I'll be blessing me, and I shaitan rajim, I see refuge in Allah from Satan, the rejected enemy. It is He, this is an interpretation, it is He who have created you for all things that are on earth. Moreover, his designs comprehended the heavens, for he gave order and perfection to the seven firmaments, and all things he have, and of all things he have perfect knowledge. So we see Allah telling us in the second chapter, for this is very new, I won't, as far as the actual way it's revealed in order, it's a little different, but we can follow that format and realize that it played a pertinent role. Those first 9 and 10 chapters are very significant once we understand, and we get a lot more clarity when we can start with that Al-Fatiha and then just go down and let it just keep giving and giving and opening and showing and providing what we need to become the best human being that we can be. And I think one of the things I'm saying under that I internalized to a greater degree on this trip that I just came back from, because it was a journey of me being open to what it had to give there in that city, in that community, and whatever. And it had a lot to give. And it answered a lot of questions. And it caused me to have a lot of questions. So that was a good thing, because what it does, or what, when you find yourself in a situation like that, you realize as much as you know is not very much, because there's so much to know. And it's not some kind of trick, you know, it's not something that's sort of intentionally done so we'll never catch up, we'll never get it all. No, it's just that Allah, the Lord and creator of the heavens and earth, is a divine source of knowledge. His creation is far greater than we could even imagine, but it's not so great that we can't gain the knowledge, gain the right attitude and spirit about it, and be this vicegerent that is talked about. I think it's in the next verse, about in the 30th verse. But it's introducing this entity, which is this well-rounded, the person who's balanced and at peace with his Lord and has all the things intact, purified soul and heart, on the Sirat al-Mustaqim, on the straight path. All those things are in place, and he's not, therefore, that person, male or female, won't be burdened as much or at all as the way we're burdened in this chaotic time that we're living in. Quick example. I was there like 2 days, and the gentleman or the brother that I was staying with, he wanted to go get his car washed. And he said, you drive the car and I drive the truck, and we'll leave the car and we'll come back and get it, you know, when they're finishing. You know, you help me do that. So I said, sure, be glad to. So we do it, and, you know, we do haggling over the price, and, you know, we pretty much say, you know, it's just what you charged me. You charged me the last time I did. Yeah, pretty much that. And how long it's going to be before it's ready? And then became the shock that I had not prepared myself for. Now, it didn't devastate me. It didn't ruin my vacation. But it really reaffirmed the times that we're living in and how chaotic they are. And he went on to say that, you know, well, maybe a little longer than it was because we're missing one of our guys. And he went right to the chase. He didn't spend a lot of time with it like I'm doing now. He went right to the chase and said, yeah, he said, because one of our guys went home and killed his grandmother, and he's in jail now. And I was like, I mean, I'm shocked. But I wasn't shocked because that's what time it is. That's the times that we're living in where life is not sacred. But when you read scripture and see how life came about in a very dignified way, in a very intentional way, in a very methodical way, you realize that when you get out of touch with those significant movements and formulas and sequences that take place to get us where we need to get, get and keep us there. Because, like I said before, while I was looking up Earth, I started out with looking up dust, you know, because that's where it starts. And that's where Imam Muhammad got us to thinking and moving our mind to when he said, from dust to industry. See, the evolved dust, which means it's a symbol, and it's trying to help us by giving abstract, not visual, not seen entities some way of being able to see them and relate to them and benefit from them. So he took the initiative and used the language to let us know it's an evolutionary, it's a formula. Take nothing and then make something. The Creator is capable of that. Not only is he capable of that, but the excellence comes in after the formulation takes place. First, you were nothing but dust. Once again, like I said before, it's symbolic language. But you can go and look at dust and say, oh, wow, no benefit, no value, no structure. But that same dust or that same individual or that same thinking or that same underdeveloped or undeveloped person can get developed and then begin to produce the injury in, excuse me, the in industry that's needed to run and conduct a civilized world like we see today. People went from nothing, you know, from walking to covered wagons to whatever was needed to take the journey. And then that particular journey produced more. And then you hear a different description. You hear mud as a source of or an ingredient. And then you hear clay. And then you hear sounding clay. Now, as you can see, as this progressing, it gets more and more complex. So as it gets complexity, if we study it and apply it properly, we become more competent. And we become less fearful of the future and the things that we're trying to bring about in the future. Someone, because it doesn't take all of us, someone who's enthusiastic about that and has the belief that we just started with the tip of the iceberg, and now you see all of the technologically driven things that are coming and are coming. And you see also packaged right there with it is the information of how to do, what to do, what it takes to do, so that everybody is not going to join the technological revolution. In fact, some people are going to be intimidated by it. And I did notice that when I was on my trip. A lot of people were pushing back because they didn't want to expose, first of all, with their ego that they didn't know. And they recognized the more they got into it, the more sophistication. But that wasn't sophistication. That was potential. I mean, it is sophisticated potential. And it's complicated potential when we don't know what we need to know to really apply it and get the best from what we have. I saw an individual. Let's see. What was going on? Where was I at? Oh, I was at the airport coming back home. And I came out of the bathroom, and it was a guy there looking at this schematic on the wall, and it told him where he was at and what he needed to go and if he was going to drive, where he could do. And he played with it for a long time until his wife and children came out of the bathroom. And he gave up. Couldn't get it to work. Not that he couldn't get it to work. He was getting it to work, but what he wasn't getting was, how does this work? How am I in better shape? How can I find the thing that's going to give me the menu or give me the magic touch to hit this thing? Then it tells me where I want to go. It gives me all the answers to my question, and I got it because I'm hitting it with my friend, and it's taking me there. So his children start playing with it. He start wanting to believe that he could get it when his wife came out and explained to her, but he realized, I don't get it. I don't know how to make this thing work. I don't know how to ask anybody to tell me how to make this thing work. So I'm walking away. I'm going to try to figure it out as I go. Or get somebody down there and ask. Like I did a lot of asking when I was there because it's a very sophisticated airport. And you just can't walk in there and know where you're at. And it's very simply laid out. And, you know, it has multiple things. And it has a whole slew of directions that are there. But if you can't read them and you can't follow those arrows and you can't understand, you know, the layout, when to get on the train and where to get off after you get on the train and then where you go from there once you get off the train. And it's, like I said before, it's almost like what I said, something about our development and growth. It's like starting out as a piece of dust, then taking that dust, not taking that dust, but having that dust inspired so it can do the earthly duties on earth in a way that he can relate and introduce it in a way where his fellow human being can be a part of the process. And then we can claim the victory of telling others and civilizing others and giving them industry and giving them the tools to make industry in that particular part of the world. When we are at our best and when that spirit is in us, that's what happens. When somebody gets the big idea that they should be running the whole show and they look off, give us little pieces and little slices, and we were also talking about how certain technological advances or capabilities, the people who came to help the other people got more benefit from the country and got more wealth from the country than the people who were living there. Saudi Arabia was one of those places. Middle Eastern countries were a couple of those places. Because the Egyptians wanted certain technology. And after they had been the top of technology with the pyramids and Pharaoh and everything, then they came down, fell down a notch, and succumbed to someone who was more driven and more whatever. And next thing you know, they dropped off and dropped down, and then they needed help just like the the Arabs needed help with all that oil. They had no idea how to refine it. Chevron, Shell, and all those companies came over there and helped them take it to the next level, but benefited from the country greater than the people who were living there and still are there. Enormous amounts of wealth they were able to charge and charge because the people still, you know, Saudi Arabia has a wealth, you know. United Emirates, Dubai, all those people are, all those countries started out like dust and went from that dust-like state to produce dust industry on the earth, and they began to make it known by sounding off and giving the invitation. Look what we're doing. Come see us. Come see. Come look at us. Everything that you're doing in your country, we're doing it 10 times better. And that means everything from the high things and to the low things. And they say, without saying, or they do say it, what happens in Dubai stays in Dubai. But the point I'm trying to make, Dubai's business is Dubai. If they want to join the ranks of Las Vegas and all that, that's on them. But what I'm saying to us is that if we will take the simple little founding formulas and treat them like recipes for success and follow the descriptions that are given in the Quran and then that are selected by human leadership to say, if you do this, if you apply this, if you start with this, if you keep up this, Allah will continue to bless you. And everything you desire will come about. And when it does, because you knew you didn't, you started out when this humble, undignified way, really, and you gained prosperity and was able to produce what the world needed and what man needed to go on and progress in the manner that we see this progression. And you stopped. And we gave all, and we should continue to give all the praise to God, all the praise to Allah. Couldn't have done it, wouldn't have had the inspiration, couldn't overcome the challenges, couldn't bring about the unity to work together to bring about, couldn't know how to share. And it starts not with the dust and industry. It starts with that little entity called family and community. We have to have a social life to complement the spiritual life. Who's going to be the recipient? If we just have the spiritual and there's not any initiative to give it to the social, it's going to crumble pretty soon. If we have the social and don't realize the spiritual, it's going to crumble pretty soon. One has to have the other to function properly and consistently and with any longevity. It's easy to say because that's the way it's been since the beginning. And guess what? It's not going to change. Allah's thinking is what got our thinking. If it ain't broke, why fix it? Why are you tinkering with it when it'll do what it do? Now, if you're tinkering with it to bring out more of the potential that it had, that's different tinkering. But when you're promoting that you got a better way, your way is better, and that's what, are you are justifying your invitation from Satan by saying, oh, yeah, I just want to take a peep at what, you know, what Satan said about, you know, it wasn't even Satan, but what the Iblis said to us about it and see if it was true. You can't justify doing that when we were told, do everything, but don't mess with this tree. And the very thing that was told is the very thing that you do. And then you try to explain it. And then we see God having to take charge, or the creator, Allah having to take charge and say, get ye down from here. Now, we think, if we're not careful, King, about a geographical location, and we think it's in heaven, and we look toward the skies because we think that's what God is talking about, versus a high station that we have to have and we have to maintain to allow us to sustain and keep perpetuating the gains that we made, abstain from the ones that would cause that to happen. So we see it maintain. No, or is it, wait, is it maintain? Wait a minute. Gain, maintain, sustain. Saying something wrong in there. But we'll get back to it. But the point being is that it's a formula. And once down that road, in order to keep it going, it's going to have to be some maintenance. Okay, 314, I got you. So you know, and this is one of the things, too, like I said before. When you really understand how Allah has set it up. Now, right now, as much as I said that, it slipped my memory. Now, I'm going to get some help from my fellow human being and fellow Muslim to carry on the conversation, and you and I both get the benefit of what I know, I've known, just can't remember. Now, see how Allah does it, though? What does that make it? Fail-proof. We don't have to know everything. We don't have to remember everything. We don't have to never have any hiccups like this and then look human and have to reach out to another human to get the information without swallowing your pride. The information is more important than me maybe being a little embarrassed because I couldn't remember and I had the sequences and couldn't get them right and that, that, that. How about wanting to continue and perpetuate the success that's going on, so reach across the aisle for somebody who does remember, who can help that process, and don't have a problem doing it. See, that's the beauty of what was going on here and how it has a longevity to it, because people have that ability and they use it and they benefit And then when they benefit, you benefit because we use it in a way. And when we put it out there that way, you feel free to do just like what I'm doing. Swallow your pride and get somebody involved who can help you bring it back and say it like it needs to be said. As-salamu alaykum.
Alaykum as-salam, Imam Nazim Pasha, and to your very astute radio listening audience, IWDN Radio. Mark Shaheen from the STL, the Gateway City of St. Louis in the Show Me State of Missouri. I want to say, alhamdulillah, that the praise and thanks belongs to Allah first and foremost. And for those who may listen and not Muslim, when we say that, we actually saying the praise and the thanks belongs to God first and foremost, for just using us as a medium, to be able to help people and help each other. What, you know? But I've heard you say it, that before, and it's a type of thing. Whereas that, all of us at certain times, because sometimes I get what they call brain freeze,
yes.
And like I know that so very well. But I can't just remember it at that time. So, alhamdulillah, this is one of the reasons we look upon how Allah has created us. He's created us to be interdependent. That's become a homework assignment in one of my learning labs, I-N-T-E-R, and put dependent on the end. Interdependent, where need each other at times. We all need each other. Only Allah is independent of everything. And all of those 99 known attributes, He possessed those in no way that we can actually possess. He's all knowing. He gives us the faculties and the capacity to know things, but not all knowing. There's a difference. Aleem, all knowing, the eternal, the absolute. We can't be the eternal nor the absolute, So we're dependent, and He's not dependent upon anything or anybody. Very, very important. Al-Basir, the all-seeing. We can't see everything. I mean, so there's a limitation, if you will, for the human being, even though we're the highest of the creation, as Allah has said, the best of mode. He's created us in the best of mode, you see. So, but that doesn't mean that we are independent. We are just interdependent. And so when we know and realize that, it's a help to all of us, and we become helpers, and we are also helped, at times. So I think what it was that you have said before is the other chain is obtain. Obtain, maintain, and sustain. So you have to get it first. You have to get it first, and then you have to maintain and sustain what it is you obtain. Sometimes people can obtain things. We can actually pray for things. That's why that old saying, you better be careful what you ask for.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you obtain it, can you maintain it? Can
exactly.
you sustain it? You see, those questions that only you would be able to answer those questions, because anything of value that you actually obtain, it has to be maintained and sustained. Otherwise, then it won't continue to live. It would ultimately die. One of the things that really struck me when you were talking, about spiritual and social, and how both are essential and they actually are needed. Imam Muhammad in his tafsir, speaking about the importance of the spiritual, it should help to ignite the consciousness in the social responsibility that we have. Not having a spiritual base, in terms of how it should be valued and everything, won't enable you to be able to fulfill social responsibility. In other words, these two working together, working hand in hand together, the spiritual and also the social, brings about a balance, an equilibrium, a balance for the human being, so that we don't become like the Gnostics. You know, they were all the extreme to the spiritual, but they were so extreme that they forgot about the social responsibility, you see. So this is one of the reasons, you know, not to take it in a different direction, but, you know, you and I have conversation all the time. This is one of the reasons the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said that marriage is one half of your deen of religion. I was just having a very detailed conversation with one of my good brothers and friends in the deen, when I learned Imam Suleiman Salam. And, you know, I was saying to him, you know, oftentimes, you know, we hear this, and this is our Islam-based conversation, so oftentimes we hear sayings, and oftentimes we just pick up on it and we just repeat what we've heard. But did we really understand what we were repeating? Do we really understand how substantive or how valuable it is? So if the Prophet Muhammad, just like Quran, you see, we have to look in terms into the terminology. What it is that God is saying to us is also the same way in terms of Sahih Hadith, and what the Prophet has said. If he said that marriage is one half of the deen, let's think about all the important things that we think, that we personally think it's important. But if he said marriage is one half of the deen, now we have to make an equation. It has to be an equation. So what would marriage represent? It would represent social responsibility. See, once again, it's repeated. That theme is repeated over and over again, social responsibility. And oftentimes you hear that the Prophet said that, but what you don't hear is that the Prophet said, and let them be conscious, regardful of Allah in the other half. That spells taqwa. So you have these two working together as mates that really comprise the wholeness of the religion. So what is it saying? It's just simply saying that you got to be God conscious or conscious of God's word, will, and way. That is a state of being. That's half of the religion. The other half of the religion is the implementation or application of being conscious regardful of God's word, will, and way. That's the action part of it. And that is the initiation of social responsibility, so that we're not to extreme the Gnostics that see social, they don't want to engage in social responsibility. The hermits, the monks, we don't want to marry. We don't want to reproduce life. Allah says he's created and he reproduces. We don't want to do that. We don't want to really be involved in social engagement, you see. But you can't serve God by just only one aspect of it, just acknowledging spiritual responsibility, but not recognizing, acknowledging social responsibility. I'm hoping that, you know, this is giving some type of insight in terms of how these two are to work together to bring about the wholeness of the religion. Actually, the religion of Al-Islam is a working religion. How do you know that? Because the Prophet Muhammad said work is worship. You see, the connection continues to go on and on. Work is worship. So if we are to worship God, and if we are to serve God, and we are to work for God, so then that would be true worship. Well, that would be true service. And it's given to only the one that it should be given to, who actually have made this life possible for us. It just stands to reason that you come to that conclusion. And if you didn't come to that conclusion, now you'll be very vulnerable and very gullible to be influenced by something, you understand, that wouldn't be deserving of your devotion, devotional service or devotional worship. That takes us in another direction. But the correction is that we have to know and understand to make those connections, those vital connections, to see that the balanced life, where we have to respect not only the spiritual but also the social responsibility and needs. And this brings about the material acquisition. The social needs bring about that, and we talk about forbearance, those things that all human beings have. For the human progress, it brings about that naturally. So those who ignore those things, they won't be getting their share of what they said, the dunya, or what Allah has created for all human beings. They would forfeit that, you see, in that regard. I could say more, but I could go on, but, you know, just connecting, you know. And this is something that I think, you know, in Al Islam-based conversation, to those who are listening, you really want to have conversation, communication, and correct information, you know, by continuously making connection, because Allah has given us so much to actually learn. We'll forever be students, and when we do that, we'll get a greater grasp on life, and then the practical application of it. It can bring about the manifestation, realization, and what it is that that we really want to have in our life, and it would actually help to elevate the quality of life that Almighty God, Allah, intended for his human creation. That's so vitally important. I think I'll stop there, but I just wanted to give my two cents a nickel's worth in terms of bringing these two together. As Imam Muhammad said, we walk on two legs, not one. Could a person walk on one? Yeah, but they'll be hopping. They'll be hopping. They'll need a crutch for the other one. They won't be able to really progress as Allah would want us to progress by, as you said, ignoring one and putting all the emphasis on one but ignoring the other, because we're both spiritual beings and we're also social beings. And when we know and understand that, there have to be congruency in working both and not ignoring either to get the maximum results in this life. I'll stop there. As always, I'm enjoying Al Islam based conversation. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam. Thank you very much, brother. That was a big hand up. Appreciate that. And also, it got me thinking again about what we're talking about here, to try to keep this duality going, but also it's maintaining the balance. So you got a duality and maintaining the balance. And I saw it, a couple of good examples when I was, well, they're all around us, really, when you think about it, but it's just that I guess when you're in a different environment, it manifests itself a little different. But I saw when I was there in Atlanta, where you have people in the community that hadn't been included in the process. They had the spirituality and the spiritual process of it. But like Brother Mark was saying, you need both, because we're not just one. We're not a social being and we're not a spiritual being. We're a social and human and spiritual being, which equals a human being. So human becoming a human being means now you have access to human ability, and that means the sky's the limit. See? That song that came out ain't no stopping us now. And then when you realize that once you have it, you can't be stopped. It's not a matter of ain't no stopping us now. You can't stop us now. So you can change it. Like when President Obama said this thing out there, he said, yes, we can. And then after he accomplished it, he said, yes, we did. And so I'm saying all that to say that while I was there, there's a new entity on the market or out in the, out in the society, and it's the new Black Wall Street market. And you have to go and see it. I could try to explain it to you. I could try to share with you the enthusiasm that I got and everything. But what I did get, I got a sense of the new kid on the block phenomenon. If you haven't been there, which that's why they call it new, it's not like it hasn't happened before, because it had happened, and it just got shut down, and it never got replaced, never got revisited on any level of certain individuals. But this one, when you hit the door, you can see it's not on an individual invitation. It's come, let us unite and produce an entity here now, but people come and see it and want to duplicate it where they're at. But everybody can't come to Atlanta to not only stay, but just to visit. So eventually, hopefully, it'll be duplicated throughout the country. And there's little instances of people pulling up with it, whatever. So it's already started that process. Point being was there was a time when we were satisfied and pacified to just work for the man. And that would be enough to pay our bills, get a few little creature comforts, and everybody was satisfied to a point. And usually those who were dissatisfied, they were willing to try to take and borrow something that they said, Malcolm said, but they didn't say it in the context that he said. That was the beginning phrase before this context, and there was one after the context. But they said, he said, that we should do this thing and by any means necessary. So a lot of people took that as an license that illegal, whatever you needed to do, was acceptable. But to do that is, first of all, a violation, and it's in considering that when it does get down low, or when they do try to suppress you, or when they do try to oppress you, and they succeeded both the oppression and the suppression, Allah says, turn to me, trust in me, like so many have done before you. It shows that you have belief, and it shows you have the proper perspective in order to go forward. You're not being influenced by the external. You're being influenced and controlled by the internal. And the internal tells you that if Allah is with you, then no one can defeat you and be against you. But if Allah is against you, no one can help you succeed or overcome that position. You're not going to succeed. Because it takes Allah and his guidance for us to succeed. I'm saying that to say that there was a time when we were turned to so-called the man, status quo, society as it whole, fight for civil rights, try to still believe that there's going to be some reparations given to us, try to get holidays like Juneteenth instilled and made a part of the holiday calendar. But once again, when you recognize that no man is going to do for you as what you should do for yourself, and when you ask somebody to do that and they do manage to do that, they get the credit for doing it. They didn't give you a hand up. They gave you a hand out. And it produces a welfare mentality, so you're always expecting it rather than expecting yourself to excel at it and produce it for yourself and by yourself. And that's what you see when you go to New Black Wall Street Market. The vibe is from the time you hit the door to the time you leave out. The decor, the setup, it's not like a typical mall. It's not brick and mortar. It's in a brick and mortar, but the ingredients inside is more make do. It's more creative. It's more putting your fingerprint on it and making it look like vending and outside marketing, and looks like you come in on your terms. You just honor the code that we have here. We're all doing this for one cause. We're all doing this to better our station in the human cycle. And even though it's called the New Black Wall Street, the language, color code, the color consciousness, the race consciousness, it's a fabrication of this society. It's always going to lead back to not address racism or sexism or any of those isms that bring about schisms between the human beings. Or it puts a layer, it puts a hierarchy that says somebody's at the top, therefore somebody has to be in the bottom. There is a bottom, so therefore there has to be a top. What does that mean? There's going to be a ceiling on everything. There's going to be only so high you can go. And I'm seeing if we really look at what we have as a model and duplicate it across this country, because already it's global. It has the capacity to get you in there and get you on a global market almost immediately. If you don't have it, you can get introduced to it. If you have it and you already can introduce other people to it, giving or sharing is caring. I got it, brother. Let me see if I can get you involved in it. Not thinking, oh, man, you're going to jeopardize this, man. This is the goose that lays the golden egg. I can't tell nobody. I can't give you let you know what, you know, who I'm working with and who I'm dealing with. No. Once you become aware of we win together, community has unity in it. A community that doesn't have unity is not going to stay a community very long, which means it's not going to be able to compete. It's going to find itself like it did before. There was white flight. The blacks came in. They did their thing. And then the people came back with regentrification and took back the land that they said, okay, you had your chance. You can't handle this. They took it back, jacked the prices up, and made it almost impossible for you to pay the rent and get to whatever, because you were still nickel and diamond mentality. Once you become a true business person, you think like a business person, you make business-like decisions, and you understand that you don't put yourself in debt, you don't put yourself way up there in the sky with all these gadgets and features and benefits, have a grassroots approach that will grow like a plant, grow like a tree. And because of that, you will have a sustainable approach, and it will produce as it goes along, because it's got a sort of what they call the cathedral theory. It has the foundation to get the elevation, but it's something that evolves. So the next generation takes it to the next level. The foundation that was laid by the previous generation allows that to happen. That's when we're cooking with gas. And we know we're cooking with gas, so we keep cooking with gas, and they keep producing the same old thing. And then what happens then, instead of your competition trying to undermine you, they have respect for you, and they want to come and see if they can talk to you, so that they can begin to use some of the principles that you're using. Because in order for us to get that big and grow that big, we're using universal principles. and the universal principles that I'm talking about come to us and come to the world via the guidance of God. In the beginning, there was a word, and the word took on flesh. Even though I said, well, wait, they don't say it in the net. Yes, it does. You're not listening. Or we're not listening. Because it's those three steps right there, line it out. And then it's all that's required once you take those three steps and give credit where credit is due. And like the brother just said, realize that the independence is taking place, but there's an interdependence too. First of all, you're not God, so you're going to need somebody else that looks like you, acts like you, thinks like you. That means you're a fellow human being. It's not an ethnic thing. It's not a color thing. It's a human consciousness, inclusion, not exclusion. Independence, but with an interdependence. Microcosm with a micro, with a cosm in it too. Big picture, but then you individually thinking about yourself and how you're going to express it and how you're going to excel, how you're going to emulate and not assimilate. And then watch the success come. Just like everybody else. And nobody needs it. No one should be more hungry for it than us as a race of people. And then when we get it, we don't promote it like it's a black thing. See? We're going to do to y'all what y'all did to us. We're going to hold y'all out and hold y'all back. How about being bigger than that? And invite them to do the right thing with what's going on. And if they're not able to do that, then this qualifies them and anybody who's doing it to be excommunicated, expelled, whatever. Because we're looking for people who are not going to let their past thinking, attitude, or approach rob them of this rich, beautiful future that's getting ready to happen. That looks like a beautiful bouquet of flowers. See? That are blossoming because the time is right, the season is right, and the stage has been set. Do you want to be a part of history as being the one who pushed it forward, or do you want to be a part of history that's trying to hold on and hold back progress because you still want to sell the idea that you're better than the rest of us? You're more qualified, you're more chosen, you're more divinely, you're more whatever. It's a lie. We have been lied about, and you have been lied to. But guess what? It takes the same recipe to repair it, the truth. Get it, and you'll see what happens. Use it, and you'll see even more. See? And when we get it and use it, then we're not abusing it. And the longevity is built into that. When you get it and use it and show other people how to use it, you're serving humanity. And when we serve humanity, then the creator of humanity, who has ordered that one day he's going to, not one day, as we evolve, we can become the Khalifa. We can be in charge of all of this. We can do what it needs because we're the missing link. The creation has to have, as I said, a vice surgeon over it to manage it and show expression to it because it's at a raw resources and all that potential. Like I was looking at all the cars and houses and advances that's taking place. And they're just beginning, like I said, the tip of the iceberg. I haven't seen nothing yet that's going to rival what the future is going to look like. Are we ready? Are we ready to take our respectful place? Are we ready to take a leadership position without doing chest beating and talking about roosters coming home and chickens coming home to roost and all that stuff? Our turn, and we're going to take your foot off our neck and put our foot on your neck. It's not time for that. It's not time for payback. It's not time for that little petty differences. Not trying to, they were still shooting people and killing people. This is earth, not heaven. This is earth, not heaven. This is earth, not heaven. That's not allowed in heaven, but it is something that we have to learn to live with on earth, with the thought that we're going to eventually take it away like we did in the Wild Wild West, because it's going to be a joint effort to see that this is a harm to the health of the community, of the society, of the civil-minded people, of the God-fearing people. And once we take that approach, it doesn't have a chance. I keep debating what's the problem. Is it the rifles? Is it the bullets? Is it the people? Is it whatever? And we get sincere intentions and obligations and commitment to get rid of this problem because it's a human problem, and we unite together to do it. It'll be a done deal. And it won't take forever. We won't be waffling back and forth and trying to get legislation and get the vote from these senators or get this block of people to come along and join the plan. No. The plan that we're talking about will convert and convince the rest of the people. Either they'll join it willingly or unwillingly. And when they come in unwillingly, they get exposed for the hypocrites that they are. They'd rather have hierarchy that's a chaos, or it's a monarchy, it's only a few people benefiting from it. See? A la the English crown, there's only one king and one queen, and they're the royalty, and we bow to them. That day is come and gone. And people realize that I don't need a royalty. People call them royalty, who's going to reign over me and lead me and guide me to the point that it takes away the dignity. And it has you thinking that this raw blood and these raw people are qualified to elect themselves and get elected by us and supported by us, and that's the best way to go about it. And they tell us how good these things are going to be and how wonderful it is because you're following our lead. That's not what God says. And once you read it, it humbles us and it conforms us to want to bring it about. Because what it'll do, as I conclude today, it'll bring about some heaven on earth. You don't start getting into, you start getting introduced to heaven while we're still on earth. You don't have to wait until you die to know what it feels like to be in a heavenly state. That's a pun intended. That's a condition. It's also a physical location. You can get a little piece of heaven by bringing up a community that has a God-fearing consciousness, and their goal in life is to make the human family and the human being and the society that we live in more civilized and better able to do what Rodney King said, can't we just get along? There's plenty to go around. There's plenty of acknowledgement that can come to you for a person to be on there with the spotlight or in the limelight or 15 minutes of fame and doing whatever it takes to get that and trying to stay there in the number one spot because they think and they want you to believe that they're doing it because they're so much superior to their underlings. And that's nothing could be further from the truth. So we know we're beginning to see that. We're beginning to know that. We're beginning to understand that. And if we'll just apply it consistently and humbly and do it in a way where all praises are due to God. He's the love. He's the one that we should be praising. He's the Lord, sustainer that makes this whole thing happen. And when we turn to him properly, we'll realize that everything, all the progress, all the success has everything to do with him and very, I won't say very little, but we're not the main factor. We're simply being obedient and grateful, sharing because we're caring, and we have the humility, and we're not ego-driven nor emotionally driven. to want something to be solo, solely ours, and then we distributed it to other people according to what we think they should get or what they, instead of letting them get what they think they deserve. And see if they can stop, not be corrupted by power and make decisions based on money. Big problem in this country today, big country problem in the world today. People are making money-driven decisions, and people are trying to get in power so that they can do unrighteous and illegal things. And God says, hey, go that route if you want to. It's just a matter of time before you get exposed and expelled, and you miss out on all the goodness that could have because you choose to do the bad things and the wrong things and allow only self to good because he's on the ear of good. And these are not adequate words to explain what's really being said, but it introduces us to it. Something comes to our mind when we hear good and bad, right and wrong. And as long as that happens, we can work on that and build on that and take the little simplicity and look deeper and unpack certain things, and you'll get the complexity that's there waiting for you and I. So may Allah bless you. Continue to bless us. Thank you. We appreciate your participation and coming together and taking a little bit of your time to be with us today. And we ask you to stay tuned for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday events that we have going on. And if you'll take a little time and give the events and know their lineup, and I'll take a little time to educate myself to do a better job of that. But it's there, and it's there on a weekly basis and on a daily basis, and it's worth checking out and taking a little bit of your time, I see it in 314, and equipping yourself and acquainting yourself with IMW Blog Talk. That's a radio, as a blog, as an entity that's trying to share with the rest of the society, community, however you want to say it, what God wants us to hear about him. And it's not our message, we're just the messengers. And I think that's if we'll take that position, which we do, and honorably and nobly assume it, and then be able to say to people we're the messenger and not the message, I think a lot can get done. So we're going to go to 314, and then we're going to conclude in after him's comments. That's what I was looking for. Brother Mark.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum once again. And really enjoyed your presentation tonight on Al-Islam-based conversation. Want to say to those who are listening now and later to this broadcast that the beat goes on here on IWDM Radio. And I just want to just kind of to address you to what we'll be looking at for this upcoming week, and I think that they really would want to tune in to these other productions too. As Imam Nazim Pasha said, you know, we work together as a team here, and this is an Islamic broadcasting station, Islamic base. So tomorrow, Tuesday, is the Science of Your Health and You Learning Lab. The Science of Your Health and You Learning Lab. Just think about that science. Everything that Allah created, everything in the creation, whether you see it or don't see it, but even the human being is part of that creation, there's a science. There's a science for us in terms of human beings, but there's also a science in terms of health. And so this is a learning lab that's hosted by Rashid Salam and his off-returning guest host, Instructor Abdul Shaheed. That happens each and every Tuesday here on IWDM Radio starting at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's 6 p.m. if you're in the Central Standard Time Zone and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time, The Science of Your Health and You, Learning Lab with the very distinguished esteemed Rashid Salam and Instructor Abdul Shahid. On Wednesday, it is the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. And this is a learning lab where we teach what is correct parenting from an Islamic base. See, all this is from an Islamic base, and how to reconstruct a destructive family life. You don't think that's important? Well, if you want to remake the world and we want to see changes in the world, we have to go back to the first social unit in human society, and that's the sacred institution of family. This is hosted by Dr. Patricia Slaw-Dean out of Miami, Florida, and yours truly, Mark Shahid. This is each and every Wednesday, and it begins at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, it's 6 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. However, you want to make dua for our beloved sister, Dr. Patricia Slaw-Dean. Last week, she was in Saudi Arabia. She was in Medina, and she was making Umrah. And also, we want to make dua. She has a daughter and son-in-law there that she had a good visit with them, and that her Umrah would be accepted by Almighty God, Allah, and that she have a safe return back to the continental USA. So I don't know if she'll be with us next week, but Rashid Salam will sit in for her. So we ask that you tune in for that. Following the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab here on IWDM Radio, it is the MGM Roundtable. That stands for the Muslim Global Message Roundtable, where I always like to bring and present to you very distinguished, esteemed guests inside the community of Imam W.D. Muhammad, outside the community, but topics that are pertinent to us as a community. And it will be a special treat this Wednesday, as I've gotten a confirmation from one of our scholarly and learned imams in the Association of Imam W.D. Muhammad. Matter of fact, taught directly by Imam Warithuddin Muhammad, that is Imam Rashad Abdul Rahman. Let me just say a little something about him, that he is the founder of this institute. It's called Quranic Studies and Leadership Institute. It's an institute that now has been in session for 3 years, just completed 3 years. And the fourth year will be coming up, inshallah, in the month of September. Now, this is an opportunity for those of you who may not be familiar to have an opportunity to know the upcoming courses. These courses are dynamic. They are very informational, very educational. Why am I saying that? Because I've been a student for 3 years, and my colleague, Imam Nazim Pasha, has been a student for 2 years. So we can vouch for this Quranic studies and leadership, the great benefits that you can derive from it. And so those who may listen, please tune in this Wednesday. Get all the information of the upcoming semester and enroll and be committed to learning this deen, this religion. It's an obligation on all of us. That starts MGM Roundtable after the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. It starts at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. So that's my special guest, our very scholarly learned imam, assistant imam there in Atlanta, where, you know, Imam Nazim Pasha was just saying to you that he was there this weekend. He will be our distinguished, esteemed guest. You don't want to miss that. 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central, and 5 p.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. Thursday, It's a sister learning lab to the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. That is the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab with the very distinguished esteemed Kur'an Shakir, and she's from the Jewel of the South. That's the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia. She joins yours truly, Mark Shaheed, on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, and that begins each and every Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern. It's 6 p.m. Central and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. And we pretty much have a confirmation on a very dynamic couple that's been a part of the association, Imam W.D. Muhammad, for many, many years, going all the way back to the Nation of Islam, my good brother and friend, Imam Dr. Nasser and Dr. Halima Ahmed from Miami, Florida. And many of you know Imam Dr. Nasser Ahmed, as he was one of the first of the transcribers for the lectures and addresses of Imam W.D. Muhammad. They will be sharing the marriage narrative of 50 years. You know, some people are not even 50 years, don't even live 50 years, but married for 50 years. I think they probably would know a little something about that. So they will be sharing their marriage narrative, and they also will be participating on the true love recipe, my own personal true love recipe. So you'll get opportunity to hear the insights in regards to that. And that will be this Thursday and every Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM Radio. Last week we had a couple of Imam Nazim that got married after they graduated from W.D. Muhammad High School there in Atlanta. How about that? And they've had a very, very successful marriage. Now it's going on 13, 14 years. Now they're 30, 31 years of age. And these are some of the examples that we're bringing to our radio listening audience to let them know, you know, that there are some in this community that have been able to accomplish what it is that Allah wants us to accomplish in the sacred institution of marriage. So we're bringing those couples each and every week as we continue with the true love recipe. And then Friday, it is Slaughter Jumai Day, Muslim worldwide. Those who are immobilized can't get out and about. You can come back to IWDM Radio with Imam Michael, a.k.a. Mikhail Sahir. Each and every Friday, it starts at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's 1 p.m. Central Standard Time and 11 a.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. Sunday, the longest running production here on IWDM Radio is Words Make People. Words Make People. Heard that before? Well, we have it here on IWDM Radio once again with the very distinguished Imam, Imam Mikhail Sahir. And that's each and every Sunday afternoon starting at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's high noon Central Standard Time and 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. And the beginning of the week, you just heard it live. Our very distinguished esteemed Imam, Imam Nazim Pasha, as he hosts the production ABC, which stands for Al-Islam-Based Conversation. So each and every Monday, you want to tune in, be a part of the conversation. Inshallah, God willing, there'll be a special Al-Islam-Based Conversation, and everybody is invited to chime in and to give your perspective and viewpoint on the special topic that will be on the Al-Islam-Based Conversation next week. So we'll be looking forward to you being present. That's each and every Monday starting at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 3 p.m. Pacific Coast Time with Al-Islam-Based Conversation. And our very distinguished esteemed Imam Nazim Pasha. So let's make sure that we get this information out to our family, our friends, our colleagues, our neighbors, our community members, so you can learn some things about Al-Islam. You know, the conversations, our perspective on various topics and things that are of interest and pertinent to all people, including Muslims and all human beings. And last but not least, IWDM Radio, we support the Muslim Journal as it is the lifeblood of our community, and we also support this upcoming 2023 Time to Be Grateful that will be held in Newark, New Jersey this year. So with that being said, Imam Nazim Pasha, I took the long route today because we just want our radio listening audience to be fully informed of the upcoming productions here on IWDM Radio so that they can tune in and they can benefit and they can also inform their family, friends, colleagues, neighbors, and community members. So with that being said, this salam is for you and yours. May God's peace be with you now and always. Assalamu alaikum. Back to you, Imam Nazim Pasha.
Well, alaikum assalam, brother Imam. Brother Mark, appreciate you. I mean, it was a very needed aspect to keep the people abreast of what's going on so that they can stay in the know. And we appreciate that you are a great asset to the community because, you know, you have that down pat. I'm sure we overuse you, and as long as we don't abuse you, I guess we'll be okay. But I do thank you. I think it was very, very well articulated. If people weren't interested, I think it did develop a lot of interest because we need to know. I mean, the world is moving very fast. Time is passing very fast, not faster than we think that it was passing, but it is moving. And if we're not moving with it, we're getting left out. So just remember that, you know. It's not about what we want to think it is. It's our time. We finna get, no, not necessarily. What it is that Allah is helping people to understand that the old crooked, unrighteous stuff is not going to fly. If you do it, you're going to get exposed. If you do it, there's consequences, you know. So why not look things over before we point the finger and tell who's going to go to hell and who ain't going to go to hell and I'm good and I've been praying and I've been doing all that. They have nothing to do with the fact of whether you got to accept it. Was your intentions pure enough? You know, what did you try to do it because you had a score to settle or all that stuff that we sometimes get caught up in and we think we have a get-out-of-jail card to be that way because we said our prayers this morning or we did this. So I'm not going to start up again, but I want to acknowledge what we heard. Make sure if you can't attend one or two or three, you know, do as many as you can before you get checked out or get full of it or get, I've heard this before, attitude. We can hear things for a second time and hear things that we didn't hear the first time, all the time. So don't be letting it be the one that just you're guilty of doing that. First time, second time, third time, what doesn't really matter. This is not our message. This is the message that Allah intended for us. And he has so much potential. We don't want to miss it and take it for granted that might be the day that little bit of curious or the question hadn't been fully answered or the connection hadn't been clearly made or securely made at the particular time or next that time for that Wednesday or that Thursday, that Friday. It happens, and that's the way it happens. The more you put your effort together and humble yourself to be a part of it and say, I know, but I could always know more. And the more you know, the more obligated you are to share it with others. So thank you very much. We appreciate you. We appreciate those who are in attendance tonight. And assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.